Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
On today's show, we're talking boring Bitcoin, apparent market manipulation, and a look at Litecoin's falling hash rate. It's December 4th, 2019, and you're listening to Markets Daily. I'm Adam B. Levine, editor of podcasts here at CoinDesk, along with our senior markets reporter, Brad Cowan, to give you a concise daily briefing on crypto markets and some of the most important news developments in the sector over the past 24 hours. Bitcoin is up for the first time in 5 days, rising 2.4% over the past 24 hours to $7,517. Ether also up 1% to $150, and XRP from Ripple is up 0.6% to 22.2 cents. In traditional markets, Standard & Poor's 500 futures are up slightly after falling earlier this week on the news that President Donald Trump might allow his trade war with China to push into next year, while the 10-year U.S. Treasury bond yield is up 3 basis points to 1.74%. Gold is little changed, around $1,483 an ounce. The dollar is down slightly versus the euro, yen, and the British pound today. So those are the numbers, but Brad's got the latest news impacting today's markets.
That's right, Adam. Bitcoin up today, still hanging in a range between $7,000 and $7,500, where it's been for the past couple weeks. Of course, Bitcoin, despite this recent stretch in the doldrums, can be quite volatile. The price down by about half from its year-to-date high of $13,880 in June, but still roughly double where it started the year, around $3,700. In the short term, CoinDesk's Omkar Godbole reports traders looking at charts see a short-term bullish move up towards $7,870 as likely. But for now, the recent price action has brought out a lot of commentary from traders, investors, and journalists on what's next in this market. Quartz, an online news service, wrote yesterday that the Bitcoin market looks like it's, quote, in a funk, that it looks boring and sleepy. CoinDesk's Sebastian Sinclair reports that Bitcoin's correlations with some traditional financial markets seem to have changed recently. Earlier this year, Bitcoin's price seemed to be moving inversely to the stock market, in other words, rising when the S&P 500 index fell and falling when the index rose. That was seen as evidence that Bitcoin was working a little bit like a safe haven asset, similar to gold or U.S. Treasury bonds. But recently, that relationship has weakened, with Bitcoin now trading in sync with the U.S. stock market. Kevin Kaltenbacher, data scientist of Digital Assets Data, told Sinclair that this shift undermines the investment narrative that Bitcoin can be used as a store of value or a digital alternative to gold. Now, in some other big news that might be affecting sentiment in the space, CoinDesk's Ian Allison has the scoop today that the giant U.S. bank State Street has cut upwards of 100 developers from an in-house unit set up to do work on blockchain. State Street says it isn't getting out of blockchain or moving away from distributed ledger technology, just changing the way it goes about the business. Ralph Achkar, managing director of digital products at State Street in London, said the streamlining should not be taken to mean that the bank is, quote, not focused on distributed ledger, quote, that is absolutely not the case. The takeaway here, Adam, could be that even as this giant bank cuts a not insignificant number of what probably are very good blockchain developer jobs, the bank's PR apparatus appears to be quite intent on getting out the message that it remains acutely focused on blockchain. And that could be good for the sector sentiment overall. Adam, back to you.
And now we're joined by Galen Moore, Senior Research Analyst at CoinDesk, for a quick discussion on apparent market manipulation in the sector.
So there's been a lot of discussion around whether crypto markets are manipulable. Exchange-traded fund applications have been rejected on these concerns. People talk and write research papers about whales manipulating prices and wrecking retail traders. Of course, any market is manipulable, but the more liquid the market is, the more costly and risky it would be to try to manipulate it. So CoinDesk research looked into how much it would cost to manipulate Bitcoin markets, the most liquid of any crypto asset. The thing we focused on was an event that happened on May 17 of 2019. It's been referred to as a flash crash. Basically, the Bitcoin price dropped suddenly. The action began on a single exchange, Bitstamp, which is domiciled in Luxembourg, where the price dropped 18% in a matter of minutes. Composite indexes like CoinDesk BPI dropped about 8% in the same period of time. So what happened? Bitstamp is a component of BitMEX, which is the most liquid derivatives market in crypto. At the time of the May 17 flash crash, it was one of three components. Those were split in equal thirds: Kraken, Bitstamp, and Coinbase Pro. Of the three, Bitstamp is certainly the smallest by volume.
Does that mean that Bitstamp was the least liquid of the three exchanges used in the index?
So volume doesn't always correlate with liquidity, but it's a fair guess that of the three, Bitstamp would have been the least liquid and therefore the cheapest to manipulate at that time.
So what happened on May 17th?
So on May 17 at 3 a.m. UTC, somebody placed an outsized sell order at a significant amount below the market price. It was 3,737 Bitcoin offered to sell at $7,212, which was about $500 below market at that time. So as that order, that large order, and at that time, the average order was probably around 10 BTC or so or less. As that huge order fulfilled available bids, the price moved lower down to $6,276, at which point the selling stopped. This took place in a matter of about 10 minutes. So all told, the seller moved about 2,906 units of Bitcoin. The aggregate discount, if you look at all the trades through the order book, amounts to about $2.5 million below what the seller might have realized if they had managed to move that amount at the market price of $7,700. In other words, $2.5 million on Bitstamp caused more than $200 million in auto liquidations on BitMEX.
What are auto liquidations?
Good question. On traditional derivatives exchanges, brokers and clearinghouses kind of act as middlemen. Everybody who participates is known, right? Some of them have been trading on exchange for decades. That's kind of antithetical to Bitcoin in a way, where pseudonymity and accessibility are first principles. Offshore exchanges, lightly regulated exchanges like BitMEX, have developed innovative systems that allow anyone to trade anytime without intermediary and still manage the leverage and risk that are associated with trading in derivatives. Basically, you know, on a traditional exchange, you get a margin call where you need to increase your margin. On BitMEX, if you fall below maintenance margin, you don't get a margin call, you just get wiped out. That's an auto liquidation. And if the volatility is high enough, both sides of the trade will get wiped out in what's known as auto deleveraging. In this way, basically, they've enabled a new market structure that allows you to have a derivatives market built upon something like a Bitcoin market.
So someone moved the Bitstamp market to trigger these auto liquidations?
So that's unknown, right? This could have been a fat finger error. It could have been a trader willing to accept the cost of moving a large amount on a thin exchange. While we might know who's trading on Bitstamp, a lack of market surveillance on BitMEX means there's probably no way to know who might have been setting up short positions that would have benefited from the trade on BitMEX. What we can say is that there is a potential incentive to do this kind of manipulation. If you spend a small amount of money, you can realize a large gain in the derivatives market. And we had a trader, Mike Komoransky, chime in on Twitter to put together some math, which was better than my initial kind of sloppy math on what the sort of impact might be for the actual individual who might have been doing the manipulation. Depending on how much leverage you're willing to take on while setting up a trade like this, it looks like about a 2x gain. I think on the one hand, market surveillance is an issue, right? If somebody was to execute a manipulative trade like this, you'd want to be able to pick it apart and find out who it was. But on the other hand, the issue is really a lack of balance. You know, Bitcoin itself is very balanced in terms of incentives of miners and manipulation of the network itself and the validity of transactions. People are incentivized not to do those things. In the market structures that are built on top of Bitcoin, you have this wild imbalance between, on the one hand, a market that's very thin and illiquid, and another market like BitMEX that's highly liquid, at least relatively so. With that imbalance and those two markets dependent on each other, I think that's where you have a situation like this where incentives to manipulate come in. I wouldn't be surprised if you see more analyses like this from us in the future.
If you'd like to learn more, we've got a recent article out called The Mechanics of Market Manipulation, which will be linked in the show notes. And now for our altcoin spotlight. Brad's been watching Litecoin's falling hash rate.
That's right, Adam. Today we're looking at Litecoin. This is one of the earliest blockchains, or at least one of the oldest surviving cryptocurrencies, set up in 2011, just 2 years after this industry was born. It's often cast as a faster and cheaper but less secure version of Bitcoin. Litecoin has a market capitalization of about $3 billion, making it roughly the size of a mid-cap stock in the U.S., but it's currently the sixth largest cryptocurrency, according to the data provider Messari. What we're reporting today, Adam, is that Litecoin's price plunge in recent months has whittled away the profitability of mining this particular cryptocurrency. Prices for Litecoin have fallen to about $45 from a peak around $140 in June. And under the network's original programming design, rewards for mining new blocks are slashed every 4 years in a process known as the halving. And that happened on August 5th. The rewards were cut by 50%. Now, this combination of factors has cut the profitability of mining Litecoin. Using the popular InnoSilicon A6 Plus computers, the daily profit per 24 hours has fallen to $1.68 from $2.65 in mid-June, assuming a standard electricity cost. And that's a pretty slim margin now for a machine that costs $3,000 new. Many Litecoin miners are now simply choosing to drop off the network, evidenced by a decline of more than 70% since July in the hash rate, the metric that measures total processing power of all computers on the network. On November 30th, Litecoin's hash rate touched 149.6 terahashes per second, which actually was the lowest in a year. Greg Cipollaro, co-founder of the cryptocurrency analysis firm Digital Asset Research in New York, says that if miners are underwater or running non-economical gear, most likely they will decommission that equipment. He says hash rate follows price. Now, Litecoin, of course, garners nowhere near the headlines seen by its larger rival, Bitcoin. But what's interesting here, Adam, is the lesson in the emerging economics on the fast-growing cryptocurrency and blockchain industry. Litecoin, like Bitcoin, has what's known as a difficulty adjustment mechanism that automatically makes it easier to find new blocks of data and win the rewards. According to analysts, the automatic difficulty adjustment should make it so that even though the rewards per block have been cut by half, it'll be easier to find new blocks of data, and eventually that should entice more miners back into the market, probably those with more efficient and faster computers. Back to you, Adam.
Join us again on Thursday for the next Daily Markets from CoinDesk. Thanks, Brad.
Thank you, Adam.